it is 5:30. That means it's the time of the month for the community meetings, and we have District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey with us. Tim, how are you?
I'm well, Raleigh. It's been a good day. I was at Roosevelt at 1 o'clock today for that public meeting, and that went well, and so now I'm here, and probably after this I'll go to the Miami Town Hall. So yeah, it's one of those days where I try to get in touch with people, and speaking of getting in touch, that number if they want to call in this evening.
888-876-5593. 888-876-5593.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah,
and
I know there's people just rushing to find a pen to write that down.
Right, and of course this is recorded and will replay on KJAA on Sunday, and of course it's downloadable. I'm surprised at the number of people who actually download this, because not a one of them ever calls.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a world today.
Yeah,
you know, because they want my meeting minutes, you know, from like my public meetings,
right?
You know, printed and so they can go read the meeting. And it's like, you don't understand, being part of the meeting is what creates the meeting,
right?
Not reading what happened afterwards. It's what you bring to the meeting, not what you read about the meeting that everybody else had.
Well, what's fascinating to me is your meetings in Roosevelt and Tonto Basin, they're packed. I mean, there are always people there. And here, you know, you did them for a while at Tri-City Fire and virtually nobody. And now we do them on the radio. And like I say, I know that people download it and hear it. But in terms of participation, very little. And that's strange that Roosevelt and Tonto Basin would be so strong.
Yeah, I don't understand, unless people that are here in the community, they know people that work for the county, so they just call them instead of call me. But really, calling me is not an issue, because I don't look at things as a problem or a pain in the neck. It's like, if there's something that's going on and you don't let me know about it, I can't help with it. But if you let me know what's going on with it, then I can help with it.
And you know, that is true about so many things in the county. It has to be, like, for instance, we've talked about code enforcement or about permitting or all this. And very often, if you've got a problem with blight, say, in your neighborhood, the city's not going to know it unless you, or the county, not going to know it unless you tell them.
Right. And a lot of, and the county, they're complaint driven. I mean, we don't have employees
that
just drive around looking for something to
do.
So you know, we need complaints to motivate an action from us.
Right.
And so, but anyway.
On a happy note, by the way, last time we went to the valley, we went through the Payson area, and I finally said, I'm going to do it. I drove over the bridge. The Tonto Basin Bridge. It is such a nice bridge.
It is, and there was a deal in Washington here just recently. I think the county manager went to it, but it was a engineer award of the year from National, and being that I didn't have anything to do with the architects and engineering of it, but anyway, that's something I have on here this evening, is that bridge has gotten a lot of attention, because also too, let me see, where did I have it? Anyway, there's a Public Works Award. The Arizona Chapter of Public Works Association has selected the Tonto Creek Bridge Project for their annual Project of the Year Award for Transportation. In the $5 to $25 million categories, the award will be presented to staff and supervisors on July 31st. Congratulations to all the public works staff.
That's great.
And
that's
so great. So yeah, it you know, got a national award. Now it's getting an award from here, and you know, it's a great project for Gila County. Like you say, not only is it a beautiful bridge, but it opens up a lot of country.
The development already.
I
saw that. There's a lot. But the big thing to me, and it's great that it's development, but the big thing is we were actually losing lives, because people would cross figuring, well, we haven't had flash floods last week. We probably don't have them this week. And next thing you know, there's a fatality.
Right.
And that was literally the only method, unless you went hours out of your way.
Sure.
So transportation is the perfect perfect topic for them to give out the award.
Right, and a lot of times if it was flooded, then you had to come the back road, and the back road had to cross like Sally May Creek, and usually it was flooded if the tunnel was flooded. And so, yeah, and not only had it taken lives, but there was many, many, many times that many people jeopardized their life in crossing it.
Of course.
To go to work.
Right.
To go to school. You know, so yeah, it's been a great thing to happen, but yeah, and so on that subject, that's where that's at, and I guess I will go to Tucson for that award.
Good.
I didn't go to Washington, but I'll probably go to Tucson for that award, and so on my recent activities is since the last time I've attended 3 agenda meetings and a work session with the Board of Supervisors. I met with Michael O'Driscoll, our deputy county manager, and James Minlove, our county manager. He if he's able to, he comes to those as well. But I have kind of a team meeting with the county manager, deputy county manager, and facilities and other head of staff, so we can all talk about projects in District 2. So I don't have to call facilities to see what's going on, and they say, well, let me call finance to see where the financing is and get back. So we're all sitting in one room, one table, so it helps keep these projects rolling and introduce new ones, so when people call in with an issue, then that's I can take to my meeting. And I was asked to speak at the Rotary Luncheon on the 4th, and I did that, and that's a great group of people. And then I held a Tonto Basin community meeting on the evening of the 3rd. And so that's kind of been what I've been doing, well, and a lot of other meetings as well. But things going on, the old Willow Motel, it belongs to the county. And so now we have put in for a Brownsville grant to demo that. Brownsville grants are for contamination,
right?
And so there's a lot of asbestos and things in that building, and so
where is it?
It's right there. Right there where you turn to go to where you can stay on the highway or go through Broad Street, right there where the railroad tracks are.
Okay.
Then just up the road just a little bit on the right. It's right, Mary's Tap Room, you know where the little tap room is?
All right.
The little bar?
Right.
Right past the little bar on the right. There's an old kind of a yellow motel that's kind of vacant.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was a motel, and I'm not sure how it ended up in the hands of the county, I think through community service or something, got a grant for that to turn it into low-income housing. But then with the contamination and everything,
it can't do it.
Mm. And so we've put in for a Brownsville grant in order to demo that. And, that's
great.
What those were for. So that's great. And then being that it was purchased with grant money to benefit the public, then after that, after it's demoed,
use has to be that too.
Kind of what they're thinking about is utilizing it like for a community garden or something of that nature that will still benefit the public with that property bought by grant funding.
Good. No, I asked where it was because when you said it was county owned, but it's in the city, I can see what that happened. And yes, you would have to then make it for public good since that's the way it was purchased.
Sure.
A community garden would be interesting.
Well, that's kind of what I thought. Or you know, probably other suggestions, or, you know, we're working with the City of Globe on multiple projects. You know, the old Gibson building downtown, we're working on that. That's a joint venture between the county and the city. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure between the county staff and city staff and public input that we will be able to create a use for that property that also serves the purpose of the grant that purchased the property. And so that's what's going on with that. And then cesspool replacement in Wheatfields. There was a grant through ADEQ, Gila County and the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, ADEQ, will be partnering for the replacement of cesspools or failing septic system, which impact the water quality of Pinnell Creek. the project, which will come before the Board of Supervisors tomorrow, the county with $500,000 for the project, which will run from July 1st through September 30th, 2026. And I think that was talked about earlier in the public about a cesspool replacement program, mm-hmm. but it's not countywide. So if you have a cesspool or a failed septic tank, it's not going to be countywide. It's done through ADEQ for a particular water table, which
right.
is the Pinal Creek is the one that they are looking at.
Well, of course, the lots have to be sufficient size, which we've talked about too. So right. it's got to be something that would qualify all the way around.
Yeah, and this is in wheat fields, and right. so I think most of the properties in wheat fields would be big enough,
right.
you know. But anyway, so that providing that the board passed that tomorrow, which I don't know why they wouldn't.
Right.
But anyway, so that'll be a good project to help the people. But like I say, it's not countywide, so don't call if you live in
Six
Shooter Canyon or Claypool, because it's wheat fields only for that particular water system. And so anyway,
speaking of that, by the way, because you're right, whether it's Claypool or Central Heights or whatever, TRSD, do we have any update?
You know, I've been busy and I haven't attended any of their meetings. I do know that they were okayed to go out for bid.
Yes.
But I don't know where that went. But I will reach out and see if I can't see where that's at for public information. And it might be on their website. I haven't got on their website.
Right.
Either.
I haven't in a while.
So that information could be there. And the Central Heights Cemetery, that was a corporation that went bankrupt, and so nobody was supposed to be responsible for it. But it's something that, you know, I work hard on keeping it clean, not only for the people that are buried there, but for the people that have family that are there. You know, to have it overgrown to me is pretty disrespectful. But in the past month, Gila County crews and Department of Corrections have devoted 85 man hours to cleaning and maintaining this Central Heights Cemetery. Crews also prepared the cemetery for flag placement on Memorial Day. So anyway, yeah, that's good. It's nice to go by and see that cemetery
looking better.
Looking better, yeah. And fairgrounds, we're still doing a lot of work with the fairgrounds. We're only 100 days away from our fair, and crews are working on the grandstand, painting and replacing boards as needed. Crews have also ordered replacement parts for the AC units and in the exhibit hall, so that the building will be adequate cooled for the fair. And it says AC. I don't think those are ACs as of yet, because we don't have the complete electrical updated. I think mm-hmm. that it's still evap coolers, but I could be wrong. The ACs could be in. The arena is being booked monthly for 4-H events.
Good.
The mobile bleachers, we got some grant money from Freeport to get some mobile bleachers. We're purchasing for the fairgrounds. And so anyway, that's going. That should be delivered by around April. We're checking existing buildings on the fairgrounds to see if the bleachers can be stored in an existing building, or if we need to construct a new building. But we've got a bunch of old horse paddocks out there that uh-huh. perhaps we can use to house the new bleachers.
Okay.
And Little League Field, we're working on fertilizing the field to get the grass in better shape. And you know, I was at a deal where Freeport is doing soil testing in this area and on Golden Hill,
yeah,
and they're going down like 24 inches to see if there is any contamination, and if there is, then they'll take the dirt out and replace it. And so at my meeting this week, when I was with staff in the Deputy County Manager Michael O'Driscoll, is I brought up the fact that the baseball fields, because, I mean, they look great. We put a lot of time and effort in the ball fields. But I asked staff to check with Freeport to see that is Freeport property. And so I was after staff to ask them, even though it's their property, it's in public use quite a bit. If they could maybe test that soil as well, because you know, we've had a devil of a time keeping the grass in shape and things, and you know, that could be part of the purpose, you know, so close to there, to the years and years of mining,
right?
And if they're willing to test it and things go forward, then we'll still be happy to take care of the ball fields and keep them as nice as we can. And I heard through the grapevine that they're going to have some tournaments and things on those fields this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so anyway, if somebody knows more about that than I do, will you call in?
Yeah, that's right. 888-876-5593.
Yeah, because I hear so many things and I'm in a lot of meetings and I store as much information as I can. But you know, I just there's just too much going on. I have a lot of notes I can refer to, but just off the cuff, there's an awful lot of information that I don't retain.
But, well, as evidenced by the agenda that I saw, we're getting to that time of year. It's budget time.
Oh, yeah.
So I know there'll be a lot of talk tomorrow about various things, the libraries and others, in terms of budget, and I assume that's true for the county as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, what would you like to see in the budget this year? And it's like, well, what can I see in the budget this year? You know, it's like, yeah, what do you want for Christmas? But there's nothing in the sock.
Right. Yes.
but yeah, you know, light is one of my big things. And so I always ask for money for light because, you know, we've changed the system to where you can be cited and then you go to a hearing officer. And the hearing officer is a subcontracted hearing officer with the state of Arizona, who's licensed to do hearings. And so then you can be fined, and the fine can be turned over to a collection agency. But that still doesn't help the elderly. That doesn't help the disabled. And so, you know, I request funding so that we can help some of those properties with the people that just don't have the means.
Right, people who are there and certainly have the attitude in the right place, but don't have the capability, and that's great.
Yeah, and so to help them, but like I say, then Representative Marshall let me know this year that he's going to push a bill for me to try to get it through. If you're paying taxes on a property in the state of Arizona, you're liable for
it. Right. We've talked a lot about
because
this.
Because the investors and people that have passed away are some of the major properties. And some of that money that I request for blight ends up having to be used for the other properties, the investment properties and things, just because they become a health hazard and they just have to be cleaned up. And I hate cleaning up investors' property because they don't care.
Well, investors and family members too, because you have a situation I know in Central Heights where there may be three houses in a row where people have passed away, family members out of state now own the properties. They're not here, they don't care, but there's no reason for them to do anything at this point because there's been no real, you know, real movement to force them, basically.
Right.
So they don't sell it, they don't want to put it for sale, they just let it lie fallow. But then for some people, if you're in an area where you've got three homes on one side and two homes on the other side and they're just vacant, that becomes a very oogie place to live.
Well, because then the people without a place to live start living there.
Well,
you know, a lot of the homeless just kind of take it over and call it home.
Well, and that's a problem too, because many of these properties are just not set up for human habitation after a while. We talked about the sewage and all that, and that's one thing. But I mean, in some cases, places, there's probably not running water.
Yeah, no utilities or anything of that nature.
And then what do you do? How do you get rid of them?
Well, that, you know, go on private property to kick somebody off private property. That's, you know, then you're trespassing. So
yeah, well, let's say you got that call from somebody who said, "Hey, I've got vacant homes around me, and there's homeless people living in them." What would the county be able to do?
I guess the sheriff's office could go and ask them if they have permission to be there, and they say yes. Well,
of course they're going to say yes.
You can't argue. How are you going to argue with them? Do you know? But through a lot of work with staff and the health department, is a lot of times it, especially when you get into a health hazard situation, it turns that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the property or who owns it. It's who made the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever made the mess is responsible for cleaning that mess up. And so we try to use that as well. And so on some of the homeless people, if you tell them, okay, maybe you don't own the property, maybe you got permission to live here, but this is a real nasty property, and you're living here, so you're responsible for it. So, you know, you got to clean it up. Well, then sometimes they just find another place to go.
That's what I was going to say. Of course, the easiest thing is to just leave.
Yeah, yeah. So the original complaint is, what if somebody's living there? Well, they're not living there anymore, but it's not any better than it was.
Well, when it is a health hazard, which puts it in a different category altogether, can the county come in and do something? If you're living next to something that's truly a health hazard.
Yes. If it's a health hazard, yes, we can spend public funds, you know, on health hazards, yes, to clean up a health hazard. And we've done that several times, like raw sewage on some of these investment properties, it's just nasty.
Well, yeah, raw sewage is obviously a health hazard, but other than that, what would constitute health hazard?
Like a collection of water, like in the rainy season for mosquitoes and things of that nature. Rodents are a major one. You know, if there's just so much blight and trash that you got, you know, rats and things living there, yes, then that is a public health hazard that we can go in and deal with those situations. But like I say, to me, it would be very easy for our state just to say, and 'cause see, like a lot of these properties, someone's paying property taxes on it, you know, like out of a family trust or something, to keep it from going into a tax foreclosure sale. And so, like I say, if the state would pass a bill, if you're paying taxes on a property, you're liable for it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a grandson, if you're a nephew, if you're an investor, you're responsible for it because, Raleigh, you own property, you're paying taxes. I'm liable for it. I own multiple properties, and I'm responsible for them.
Of course.
And if I wasn't, they'd come and write me a citation.
Right.
And so I don't see why investors should be treated any different than the people that live next to them.
You're right. And of course, in addition to it being a health hazard, and obviously blight is in an area that has high fire danger.
Sure.
If a property is not kept up with the vegetation around it and all that, you're endangering everybody.
Yes, you are. Yep, you are. And so anyway, but that's a thing we're working on, and that would be very nice.
Good.
if Representative Marshall would carry a bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it goes anywhere or not, you never know once things get down there on where they're going to go. But it would sure be nice to at least get that started, because I've been working on it for 8 years. And when you run against those kind of problems, it's the states, because the county's done all it can. With what it has to work with. But there's a lot of good things going on. We're, you know, we got a lot of roads chip sealed. We've got, the fairgrounds are going. We're working on demoing that building. We got the awards. And like I say, we're having a lot of meetings. Cemetery's nice and cleaned up. We're working on the ball field. You know, it's just...
And the next phase of the dump of Russell Gulch. I know that's going to be discussed tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too. there's been some, I've had some calls, and I haul my own garbage, so believe me, I've sat in a line for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we
before,
too.
Before I even get there. And so I understand, and so to let you know, we need to, what the deal is we're kind of short, we were kind of short-handed at the dump, and from the time it opens till the time it closes, our operators are busy pushing garbage and covering garbage.
Right.
And so they don't get any time to prepare for a lot of people. And this Globe landfill is extremely busy. And you know that if you've ever been there and in a line. And so they haven't had time to work on the road and the tipping scale where you dump. And so because the operators are busy just working the garbage. So what we did is I got with staff, and last week we got staffed. We got some people from the road crew there with equipment. We also offered overtime on a Sunday. So most of that dirt work should be done by this coming Saturday, last Saturday. So it should be done by this week, to have the road better and a bigger dumping place, because we got extra operators up there to deal with that. We also just hired two new operators. So if you've waited in a line to the point you turned around, I apologize, but it's going to be a temporary situation, because
right.
I've been in the same line and we're working on it. And for example, I was there just last week, and I was in line, and there was a pretty long line, and a gentleman that I know called, and he says, good luck to you. He says, I just turned around. And so I visited with him, and it's like, okay, man, it's like, I got pictures. I'm going to time myself how long it takes to get to the scale, how long it takes to get done. And, you know, the thing of it is, Raleigh, it took me 15 minutes to get on the scale. Then I went and dumped. And by the time I came out, there was nobody in line. So I called him back, and I says, if you're not real busy, you know, there is no line. But that dump gets hit pretty hard. But we've been short operators and unable to do some dirt work that we needed to do to open up a better sale for people to dump, to allow, you know, it was like two in, two out.
Right.
And so we should be able to do a full load now. So with the landfill, like I say, if you want to talk to me, please call me and let me know what's going on, so I can also let you know what's going on. Because like I say, then at my staff meetings, when I meet with county manager and finance, I'm like, guys, what can we do to make this a little better? You know, do we need to okay some overtime? What do we need to do? And it's not like, well, let me call Joe or whatever. Because we're all sitting in the same room. So it's like, well, if you need to talk to Joey, he's right there. Fred's right here. So let's come up with a plan to make it better.
This moment in time is monumental. We have a caller.
Okay.
So, yeah, hard to believe, but true. And it's Tom. So, Tom, welcome to the community meeting with Tim Humphrey on KQSS. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing well. How about you, Tim?
I'm fine, Tom.
Good. Hey, a lot of people have been wondering about the Russell Gulch, the Russell Road repair, where it washed out during the flood.
On the road?
Yeah.
Okay, what's on with that is we put in for a grant, because for funding from the federal government anymore, grants are difficult. But one, they recommend that it be engineered, and then once it's engineered, then it can be priced. Then once you have a price for what was engineered, then you can also put in for the second grant for the funds to do what was engineered. And so we did that. We put in for a grant. We got $1 million to do the engineering and the study. And so engineering, are they going to work down low and try to control the creek or move the road up higher on the hill? Well, that's what the engineering stuff's for, and that's what this investigation is for the engineering, is because then you get into artifacts and things of that nature where you can't put a road. So, okay, so right now we have $1 million grant. We're about 40% through that investigation and engineering stage. And so right now they're figuring out where they're going to put it and where the road's going to be or be able to be. Once we know that, then they can engineer the road, and then we can have a cost. And the good thing is by getting the first grant, the information was, okay, you accept this grant, then after it's engineered, you have to put in for the second grant for the funding. So it's patience and perseverance, but we did get the first grant. We are under engineering, and so that's a good deal and a step forward. And then as we go through elections and stuff and Washington changes, then some of the processes change, but that's where we're at right now, and so to me that's good news. At least we're about 40% through the first phase of what we need to do to get that road back.
Is there a deadline on when engineering has to get back to you?
No, because a lot of that depends on the MEPA studies and things and the investigation of what, you know, what's where.
This will be a while, Tom.
Yeah, but we're working with it. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I think there's some confusion. A lot of folks seem to think that that's a Forest Service problem, but if I'm correct, where the washout was, it's below the Forest Service boundaries. Am I correct there?
Well, you know, there's some of it Forest Service, some of it easements, but yeah, even the easements I think are to the Forest Service, not necessarily to the county. But even if they are to the county in some of the lower parts, it's the same deal. The whole road needs to be engineered.
Well, just a suggestion to quell some of these rumors that I see on social media, maybe put a little something in the newspaper or a little information about it.
Okay. Yeah, I've shared it on the radio several times, but yeah, I'll be happy to put a deal in the newspaper on it.
And if you get us a press release, I'll make sure it's on the news.
Yeah, I can do a press release of our progress on the road.
Yeah, maybe that'll quell some of the rumors that I see on social media.
They're probably going to continue. This is a long process.
Yeah, and I don't get on social media. I don't have the time to.
Yeah.
But I understand. And like I say, that's why I stay as public as I can. You know, on the radio, I'm at public meetings. I do what I can to try to keep people informed. But Tom, I appreciate your call.
Yes, I do.
And I'll do a public information update, and so thank you very much for calling.
And you will hear it, so that's a great suggestion, Tom. Thank you.
And thanks for the information.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Bye.
All right. Well, that's good, actually. Yeah, if you put something together, we'll definitely get that on the news, because, a project like that is going to take a real long time, not only because of the engineering and then the actual study, but you've got Forest Service, you've got county, you've got a lot of people in this brew. So, sure, for people who were day-to-day inconvenienced by this, they'll come up with any theory, including Martians.
Sure. Or the old days. Why don't you just leave a dozer out there and I'll cut that road in this weekend?
I think it'd be great.
If only. It's like that's the old days. It's like, well, just leave a dozer up there with a key in it.
Absolutely.
And we'll fix it.
Yeah.
Come Monday, you can drop through.
That's right. Works for me every time. But unfortunately, in our litigious society, that's not going
to
fly.
Yeah, no, we have to be, well, I feel as if we have to be as responsible as we can.
Proactive.
For what we're doing.
All right.
But anyway, Raleigh, I think it's about time to give me the hook, because Mayor's probably backed up here.
He is, absolutely. But I didn't want to squander our lone call.
No kidding.
So we'll talk to you next month. Now let me make sure I have that date, and I know you do too. And so that would be July the 14th.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being here.